welcome back to another episode of the Tiltcast. This week, and maybe for several weeks to come, it will be me and Trent with special guests when we can find them. So, Holly had a bunch of shit happen, and she's not going to be here tonight. We'll go into maybe a little bit of that, but for right now, it's me, Justin, and Trent.
Hey.
So, night is going to be interesting yet again with scheduling constraints and things like that. But this week, we have some pretty big news pieces, and then we can talk a little bit about the games we've played. So, with that being in mind, Trent, what have you been up to?
I haven't played any games.
Seriously?
No, I was busy.
You didn't finish Silent Hill?
I haven't even picked it up to start it. Wow. I had a day Friday night, which turned into another date on Saturday night, and then Sunday, went out to lunch with a friend, watched The Walking Dead, so just no time.
So you're kind of the same boat I am. I mean, I pretty much did the same thing. I had the whole
nerd dating.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, do some good nerd shopping for the girlfriend, which I did a pretty good job at. She was pretty happy.
I did buy a Blu-ray player. I just remembered. Yeah, yeah. I bought a Blu-ray player and a bunch of Blu-rays.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of money on Blu-rays. I bought the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah.
The Aliens quadrilogy. So.
Yeah, she got it on Blu-ray, so you can watch the first three and the fourth one in this case.
Yeah, I hate the fourth. I bought a Kubrick collection.
Yeah.
Which is nice. The Game with Michael Douglas. So I love that. I got the Criterion Blu-ray, so I was happy about that. And the original Thing. They're up there on the top shelf. Yeah, so I had to look over there to remember. But yeah, and then the original Thing. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I think I might buy the Star Trek collection, because that's like $50 and it comes with all the original Star Trek movies.
So all the ones without John Luke.
Yeah, it's all the Shatner ones. So
those movies are actually pretty good.
Did the first movies, like Star Trek the motion picture with V'ger, that's one of my favorites. A great story.
That's a really good movie.
It's awesome. And
like, they keep some of the cheese, but it's just like so much more dramatic.
No, it's way dramatic, and it's really well done. And then I think here. Final Frontier. The Final Frontier one. I forgot what it's called. I think it's just called Final Frontier. And that's the one where McCoy and Kirk are framed for killing the Klingon ambassador.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Because that first part where they're all in zero G, the blood is all just floating around.
Yeah, on Blu-ray.
I might have to watch that.
It's funny, I really didn't think much of Blu-rays, and then I was like, well, you know, older movies, I don't know what I can do for those. I went back and I watched these older movies, and the transfers are actually amazing. You're sitting there watching.
Probably direct film transfers.
Yeah, I'm like watching The Shining, and I'm like, this shit looks like it was filmed yesterday. It's just perfect, crisp, high definition, nice lines. The cue cards on it are amazing. They're just nice and crisp. Even the Thing, just it looks like it was shot just yesterday. I'm like, this is really impressive. Same thing with like Alien 3. And the best part about it, that Alien 3 actually has the full 1991 director's cut.
Yeah.
So the 2003 release version of it, where it's the whole alternate version of the story, which is way better. So it goes a lot deeper. And it actually made Aliens 3 a good film. Because Alien 3, the original theatrical, was okay, but the director's cut's way
better.
It's
the weakest of the three.
Yeah.
It's not weaker than 4.
It's not weaker than 4, but with the director's cut version, it's a lot better. It's a lot more concrete. So, but yeah, other than that, I don't think it really did anything else. No, that was it. Yeah.
Say, I kind of didn't do a whole lot either. I mean, I didn't have much time to shop, so I did that last weekend. Well, not last week, the weekend before that. And then this weekend, took the girlfriend out for brunch. Went to a party with her. Got kind of trashed. It was kind of fun.
Nice.
Went ahead and went to my mom's house. Celebrated Valentine's and her birthday with her.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like, you know, you got to give up a little bit of time this weekend. This wasn't necessarily, that was a pretty good thing. But yeah, in the way of gaming, I equally did not get as much done. But, I mean, that's just, for all of you gamers out there, we're in this period right now, we're just kind of waiting for stuff to come out.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of why I'm going to direct this episode a little differently than I normally do. I'm going to shake things up.
Well, it's one of those things.
Just, I mean, we got the PS4 announcement. Yeah. There was a Destiny announcement that we'll talk about a little bit more later. And there's just, like, backlogs of games that I'm just getting through. And it's just one of those things where it's like...
The backlog's not as pertinent as the the new games. So whenever you get time to do backlog, you just keep putting them off a little bit.
I don't know. I'm the exact opposite, man. When I get some time... like to play a game that I really like playing, then I really enjoy my time playing it. Like, I'm just like, there are certain days I really don't want to play something like Skyrim or Fallout or anything like that. Well, I've been going through it. I've modded more of New Vegas and used some ENB mods on that. That game looks really good. Used some more retextures and retextures of the characters. Use some of the other mods that are kind of similar to the Skyrim mods from the same people, really. And that completely changes the game. I mean, it makes it look like a next-gen game, and it's just... it's night and day. I mean, you want to replay it just because you're like, oh, this is... well, it's not really different, but it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like how you imagine... it's like how you imagine the game in your head when it was coming out.
It's more immersive. So.
Yeah, and it's just that you're taking this thing that was... not really... none of those Bethesda games are basic... but, you know, where they're running on a fairly light engine so they can do so much just with the amount of content they put in them.
Yeah.
And you're getting a really, really, really kick-ass experience. It's really immersive now. Just playing, like, the Fallout series in general. I've been going back through that. And then Skyrim in general, man, that's just been immersive as shit. And speaking of stuff like that, I've also been, you know, watching a lot of TV lately. And... watch Seven Psychopaths.
Yeah, I watched that.
What'd you think?
Well, it's done by the same guy who did In Bruges.
Yeah.
Yeah, same writer and director, which I love that movie. And so it was really... I didn't know it was him at the time I watched this. I'm like, this is really familiar, like, writing and acting style. And ultimately, I thought it was a great movie. I loved it.
Like, I didn't really expect it, like, to go the ways that it was going to go.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to kind of hate Colin Farrell, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know what they were going to do with Christopher Walken, and they made him fucking amazing.
Yeah.
No, like, they make it seem way more campy than it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes the humor in that movie is a little bit more subtle. It almost felt like, I hate to, not the way that it looks, but the direction almost felt kind of Wes Anderson. Like, it had that whole, like, here's kind of a story within a story kind of thing. Here's kind of a set piece of things happening. And, you know, like, Wes Anderson... you know, movies are really just character pieces, you know.
Well, you're talking about the story within stories. It's like
it's like they're talking about
that they meet.
Yeah, and they're talking about how they're going to shoot the movie.
Yeah, and they go into these flashbacks with the psychopaths about their, like, Tom Waits
plays is the great.
Psychopath who carries a white bunny rabbit around with him. And did you see the very, very end?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I just love that part. Yeah, just because I carry a rabbit, you don't think I fucking kill you? Anyway, that was funny, but. That, and also when they're talking about the way they shoot scenes and stuff, was really well done.
Yeah, and so, then...
Woody Harrelson was
really good. Woody Harrelson really was good
really
good. Yeah. I really liked his character.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it has a goofy premise about the, you know, the dog catchers, basically, or the dog kidnappers.
Kidnappers, yeah.
It's a really goofy premise to kind of set up this whole movie and all these characters that... And for anybody that doesn't know, basically what the movie's about is Colin Farrell, the writer... and hasn't been doing really good, and he thinks of this idea that a buddy of his gives him.
He's an alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah. About seven psychopaths being a movie, and so he's trying to write this movie. He's inviting these people. You just need to watch the movie to see how that occurs. But basically, he's meeting these people to get ideas about his movie.
Psychopaths. Yeah.
And then the movie kind of turns into its own movie based on that.
And it's like turn of events with his friends who do the dog kidnapping.
I like how
their private lives.
Well, so. Then it goes back and forth to like how the scene could look.
Yeah.
And then actuality.
Well, the best I think is when they're doing peyote.
Yeah.
That's really great.
That's really good.
That's a good scene.
But yeah, without spoiling the movie too much, I think it's worth watching. It was a fun movie.
Yeah. It's really good.
Again, Christopher Walken is just amazing.
Yeah, he's good in it. Sam Rockwell
kicked ass in that movie. Fantastic.
Colin Farrell, Christopher Walken, everybody, it's like you look at it and you think to yourself, you know, Sam Rockwell, Colin Farrell, and Christopher Walken, I don't know how the three of them would really work together. But they actually do. Yeah. It's because they're so different, they actually work very well together.
They play on each other's strengths.
Yeah, have you watched In Bruges before?
No, I haven't.
I have a DVR, you should watch it. It's a great movie about these two hitmen that work for the mob, and their boss, they fuck up. The younger one fucks up, so the boss tells him to go to this town called, you know, Bruges, which he loves. He thinks it's a fairy tale town. It looks like a fairy tale. And so they go there, and of course, you know, they can't fucking stand it, but they have to wait there, and it kind of leads into the backstory of what happened, how he fucked up, and what's going to happen. It's actually really funny. And he ends up karate chopping a midget while high on cocaine, which is...
That's weird.
Fucking funny. The guy's like, there's going to be a race war, the midget. You know? Yeah. He's like, there's going to be a race war. And like, all the white people be the white and the black people, the black people. And the one hitman's like, well, my wife's black. Which side am I going to be on? He goes like, that's a hard one. It's like, what about the midgets? He's going to be, the midgets are going to be the white midgets against the black midgets and all this. It's just funny. It's
I might watch it.
It's good. It's really good. So yeah, if you like Seven Psychopaths, you'll like that.
So yeah, and then I also rented Man with the Iron Fist.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man,
I haven't watched that yet.
If you want to, go for it. You know, so I have some friends on the internet.
Well, it's the RZA doing
that. Maybe I just watched it. Maybe I just watched it in the wrong mood.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking hated it.
Oh yeah.
Some people that I respect their opinions really liked it. And I will have to disagree. I was not that impressed.
Yeah.
I think if I was really drunk, I might have really liked it. But maybe, I mean, in some ways it feels like a blaxploitation film. Like, it just has this, it's just...
Well, it's it's kind of supposed to be. I mean, back in the 70s, there was, you know, of course in the 70s, well, 60s and early 70s, we had the huge Asian invasion.
Yeah.
With karate films. And
blaxploitation.
Yeah, a lot of blaxploitation films were coming out that were doing the same thing. You know, and
I mean, it could be a callback to that, but just
it kind of is. It's really, I mean, it's Tarantino related.
Well, I don't really know how much hand he had in, to be honest.
No, but when you look at movies that are kung fu related, like anything kung fu related with him, it's always a hark back to exploitation films. When when you look at stuff like Jackie Brown, which was a total sexploitation and blaxploitation kind of hark back. And I love Jackie Brown. That's actually a good movie. So
maybe I just wasn't watching it in the right mood, but I was not a fan.
Nah.
I think I need to go back, maybe watch some of those movies, and maybe I'll appreciate it a little bit more. But it just, the cohesion of the story, the acting, and I don't know. Just some of it just pissed me off. I couldn't get over it. So definitely not on my list of things to watch. But I'm not a movie reviewer by any means. I just felt like I should have watched the next Bond movie instead.
Skyfall.
Yeah, I should have gotten rid of that.
I heard
instead.
That's really good. I have not watched a Bond film.
I've heard
film.
It's really, really good.
I have not watched a Bond film since the previous Bond. Was it?
I haven't watched Casino Royale.
Was it Timothy Dalton? Was the previous Bond? I think that was the last.
Pierce Brosnan.
Was it Pierce Brosnan that took over? Okay, I think he was the last Bond I ever watched a Bond film for.
You haven't watched it since GoldenEye?
Yeah, well, probably. He did License to Kill, and that was Timothy Dalton.
Yes.
I can't remember which one.
He did one or two after GoldenEye.
Yeah, yeah, he did whatever the last one was. That it wasn't From Russia With Love. I can't remember what the fuck he did. But either way, that was the last Bond that I watched. And, I mean, Daniel Craig. I like Daniel Craig as an actor, so I imagine he makes a really good Bond. And I didn't watch Casino Royale. I've had the chances. I think I got around to it.
I want to go back and watch some of those. Yeah, Maker Reed's a lot grittier.
I just never got around to him. Because he's already done, what, three of them?
Yeah.
He's done Casino Royale, which is basically the prequel, the early Bond.
This is one of those shows we should have had Scott on here. Yeah. This is such a Bond fan.
And then they did... What was the second one? I can't remember the name.
I'm lost now.
What was it, World's End or something like that? And then they did Skyfall. So, and I like Daniel Craig. And Holly was completely wrong, by the way. He's not gay.
No.
Far from it. Because I actually went and did the research for that. He was supposedly, according to a tabloid, spotted at a gay bar making out with some dude. But that's from, like, the Inquirer. And that's where that whole thing came around from.
Well, He definitely doesn't seem like he hits it off so much with that Turkish pop star that you were showing me videos of.
Aziz, or whatever his name is.
It's ACN3?
Well, that's just how it looks in Hungarian, but it's... Aziz.
Aziz. If you just look up pictures, those are... Wow.
The guy has a cum frosted goatee, basically. Yeah, Aziz. No, I mean, I know a lot of gay guys, but this guy takes the cake when it comes to gay.
He takes it with all the pride.
I am sharing this at work tomorrow. What was that gay tech support one? Yeah.
Well, I don't know what that video was, but it looked like a bunch of gay tech support.
He's laying in a bed, and he's got all these guys with, like, iPads and headsets on, all shirtless and naked, and we're just like, gay tech support. It's like, thank you for calling gay tech support. How may I help you? Yeah. Oh, that's horrible. What's his real name? It says Aziz is a Bulgarian shalga singer of Romani descent, known for, among other things, his atypical gender expression and his flamboyant persona. Anyway, born in 1978. Wow.
About your age.
He's actually 1 year older than me. So, actually, same month. He's exactly 1 year older than me. I was born March 29th. He's March 7th. So, that's just... Oh, so scary. So,
you don't need to play
the video. Oh, why am I clicking the video? Oh, my God. Look at that.
I'm good.
Oh, wait. Look at that. That's the part where
they had the tiger.
No, they can't hear it. That's what it sounds like. Oh, God. Okay, where's that guy that shakes his butt everywhere? Is that in this one? Yeah, oh, there he is. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah, the breakdown. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some dude booty acid. I'm sure they could probably hear that in the background a little bit. That's pretty loud.
He's very Hungarian stud. Hungarian studs are kind of flabby. Yeah, but, you know.
We gotta shake it.
He looks like he's from the Bronx.
So, anyways.
Oh, I'm not done.
I'm good.
Oh, there he is. He just came back and said, Mimile. And then it went back into the breakdown. Yeah, Aziz, A-Z-I-S. Go check that shit out. Buy his CDs on iTunes. They should have a special version of iTunes called Eyesore. That's just for certain things.
I don't know where he's going with that. But
gay tech support.
Gay tech support.
Thank you for calling.
Gay tech support.
I just wanted to do a Batman impersonation. They pray to me. It's like, where's the detonator? Anyway, go ahead.
So anyways, other things. Walking Dead's getting really good.
Oh, yeah. Daryl and Merle. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the black and white stuff is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I got to set that up for tomorrow now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
So for any of you who haven't watched it on Thursdays on AMC, they're showing... Like, they showed the first two episodes of Walking Dead in black and white. They're doing, I guess, two more.
I don't know how many they're going to do, but I was actually
looking... It looks really good.
Well, I was looking at the DVD box sets, but when it comes to TV shows, I prefer to wait for the whole show to be out before I buy it, because otherwise you're just having to buy a new version later on that has shit that you missed. But...
What I'm doing with Fringe in May, the whole box set for everything comes out.
Yeah, but they actually have The Walking Dead... Season 1, which is a little overpriced in my opinion, because it's like $40
for six.
It's not even a full season, it's a half season, it's like 6 episodes. It's $40, and you're like, what the fuck? But then they have this special version of it that has the first pilot episode in black and white. I think it only has that one episode. And
I'd like to see a box set that has all of them in black and white.
Yeah.
And apparently they're doing a season 4.
Yeah, they are.
Or, wait, were they on?
No, they're doing season 4. They're doing season 3.
Yeah, they're on 3 right now. Yeah. That's right.
Because it's half seasons. So, but they're doing season 4. They've already announced it, and they're already holding contests for walk-ons or whatever. For
stumble-ons.
Yeah, stumble-ons. I don't know. This is the end.
Yeah,
unless
so at this
they
point,
drag it out. I don't know. they have, what, 6 episodes to kind of sum up this entire Vendetta bullshit, so... Yeah. They can do it. I've seen them sum up bigger plot points in less than 6 episodes, so... Because they're kind of pushing...
Well, it's not the only show that I watch. I mean, I'm looking forward to Breaking Bad. That's supposed to be coming out, what, maybe this summer or something, or...
Yeah, but...
Or maybe at the end of this month, honestly. I'm thinking about it. I mean, Breaking Bad ended thus.
Yeah, but they're pushing pretty quickly through the whole Woodbury versus prison storyline right now. So it seems like, I don't know what that means. We have the survivors that were the other group that they could maybe go with that. I don't know. So
I'm not sure where they're gonna go with this.
Who knows? We'll see. They might just actually draw the whole thing out or rewrite it a little bit. So we'll see.
So more so than that, on the game front, I've been looking at just kind of other people's impressions. I guess a lot of people do actually like Metal Gear Solid Revengeance.
Revengeance.
I'm still on the fence, man. I think it's the my problem with it again is the controls. I don't like my camera control switching joysticks. Mm-hmm. That drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just, because of that, that like totally fucks with my game. Like, in general, I can't really deal with that so far. But more so than that, I've been, again, going back through Skyrim and Fallout and everything else, and I've just been fucking around with that shit. I mean, it's just one of those things where there not being a lot to do, I'm probably just going to keep going through that.
Yeah. Anyways... So, that's, I don't know, I mean...
We didn't have a lot to play this week.
Yeah, it's been such a busy... It snowed today, we can bring that up.
Yeah.
Walked outside, it looked like fucking Skyrim.
I was thinking that today, too.
Yeah, and then it all melted, but it's still there. Well, it's supposed to freeze.
Yeah.
So I might not... I mean, I made this huge dish of 3 cheese stuffed jumbo pasta shells with this... You know, nice Tuscan spaghetti, you know, spaghetti sauce and all that. I mean, I've got like Romano cheese, ricotta, and Parmesan all inside of these shells, just hand mixed with egg, everything. And it might freeze tomorrow. I'm not going to work if it freezes tomorrow. So at least I got a huge fucking batch of jumbo shells.
You'll be sitting pretty.
Yeah, I'll be sitting pretty.
honestly, so I don't want to disappoint the fans. I don't want to take a break early. I mean, we didn't play a lot of games. We know that. Something that we can talk about at length, though, and I think what I'm going to do is I think we ought to jump into news now, mm-hmm. and then what we'll do is we'll talk about some of our responses and stuff after the break.
Yeah.
So I think that's only fair, but you got something up right there. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. We'll bring this one up. So with the PlayStation 4 announcements that were today, there's a bittersweet one, which was Diablo 3 was announced to be releasing for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3. So they're going to put that on both. And of course, you know, their thing is that Diablo 3 was set up originally to be a console game. They're going to allow only 4 players to connect in. Let me see here. Oh yeah, let's see what else people had to say here. Yeah, and this is basically calling this from people who played the PC version trying to rationalize why they're putting it on console. The reason the quests make you walk in a linear closed circuit as opposed to big open worlds is to keep your butts next to you on the same screen. The reason for no skill points or complicated number crunching is to make the console players happy. Let's see here.
Sounds like shit.
Yeah, the reason you have 4 to 5 skills on your bar at once, it makes it easier to use with an Xbox or PlayStation 3 controller. Yeah, just really stupid shit. The reason you can't host a name game auto-join for console users. So it kind of actually, you look at this and you're like, oh, well, it kind of makes sense that that's why they did all this stuff. Just kind of sucks. Yeah. It also explains why the game doesn't have VoIP for PC Game Chat. Yeah. And then PC gamers are just beta testing for the console release, so it won't be full of bugs. So, yeah.
I'm not that excited about that.
Yeah, there isn't no runes. Complicated item mechanics exists. Simply wouldn't be fun for console gamers. Because console gamers just, you know, have to have it all spelled out and streamlined. Not really, but...
Yeah, we're console gamers to a degree.
Yeah, I know. I go back and forth. But I will admit one thing. I mean, if I play a game on PC, I have more functionality sometimes with the keyboard, and it's easier to use than with a controller. But there are some elements of games where I don't like it when they sacrifice the actual gameplay just to make it easier. Like Alien Colonial Marines, that was more of a time crunch issue. But where they got
I still haven't even come back to play that.
Well, you know, it's like they didn't have any of these mini games they were talking about wanting to put into it, and little quick time events and stuff like that. And granted, those are huge on consoles, but it's kind of a similar example where it's something that's just kind of dumbed down to make it easy. But anyways, let's go and take a look here. I got that. do you got something?
Yeah, before we get into the big release, what I did want to do is talk a little bit about Destiny. Some of the new things that I found out is it's... Right now, Destiny is not planning on launching this year, even though there are some retail listings. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Destiny's the new sci-fi shared world shooter that... coming from Bungie / Activision. Basically, from everything that I've seen, I've been looking at a lot of Destiny stuff, has been that it looks like a... Like they're being really careful not to use the word MMO.
Yeah.
But maybe they're making a shared universe for people to play a adventure shooter. What I mean by adventures, it looks like they got this... This whole planet where, like, all the civilians live in this one area. And in this one area, they have, like, this big sphere over there that's given them powers to, for lack of a better word. And so everybody looks, it looks like, or the buzz is that there's going to be powers for different individuals. And customizable guns and outfits and things like that. And they keep not saying MMO, but they're saying Xbox... You know, next-gen Xbox, next-gen PlayStation mm-hmm. are going to be the platforms that they're wanting to release it on. There was even some talk about earlier about putting it out on 360. From everything I can see, it's nothing that looks like anything on 360. And then just looking at news today, it wasn't anything that was even being planned to release on 360, even though... was that a...
This is Killzone.
Oh, okay. But basically, from looking at everything that they're talking about, they're saying, yeah, we're drawing on the strengths that we have with Halo. It's not another Halo game by any means. We're not making it exactly like Halo. We want to make it more of an experience for several people to have at the same time. So, what does that mean? Orgy. Hearing that, I still think MMO.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they're going to do it and not make it an MMO. So... That's the thing I'm a little bit worried about, is you don't want it to be an MMO, but you want it to be a shared experience between other people.
Yeah.
And, again, I mean, the concept art looks really great, and I've seen a little bit of the animated videos. I don't know if they're just pre-rendered, you know, things or not, but looking at it, it has kind of a Halo feel with almost something very dystopian, like a lot of the people are wearing, like, gas masks and, like, patched together ammo and things like that, and people all have, like, cobbled together looking guns and... And yeah, that looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it looks like it's going to be something cool. I don't want to get my hopes up for something that may or may not be good yet. But it's coming from Bungie, and Bungie hasn't really done anything totally horrible in a long time. Actually, I can't think of anything they've done, to be honest, that's been horrible. Marathon's not that bad.
No.
Any of the Halo games, Halo 2's the worst one. It's still not a bad game. It's just not the best Halo game. So, it's going to be a big persistent world. They're going to have different planets that you could travel to. And again, it looks like it's got a shooter behind it, but it almost looks like it's going to be something that has to do with almost an RPG-style type of game. Like, maybe this is what Rage was shooting for and didn't quite get, you know?
Yeah.
Because Rage almost felt like it should have been like Borderlands, in that you had a shared experience you could have had with other people. Mm-hmm. But it was just restricted to a single-player experience. It wasn't very organic.
Yeah.
And Rage looks good, and there's some parts of Rage that are really fun, but it just, there's something about it that didn't quite click with me. And with doing this as long as we have, I've started to kind of manage my expectations, you know. I think the biggest thing recently that really, really kicked home to me was just how Aliens was for me. I'm still going on about that. I've gotten 2 hours in, and I just set it down, and it's like, you know what? I'm going to shelve this until I feel like playing it again, which may not be for a while.
Yeah.
But, again, if this just ends up being another FPS, I think it's going to be, that's all right. But I really want it to be something more than just a basic FPS. I don't know. Everything I've seen so far looks really neat, but again, it's just based on screenshots and short videos, you know. There isn't anything that anybody knows right now that, you know, is anything different than if you just watch a couple of videos. It looks like they're very passionate about it. It looks like they got I've seen things about factions and things like that, so maybe you're going to have, like, guilds of a sort, or, you know, or belong to a bigger group that does different sets of missions, or, you know. I don't know what's going to happen with it. But, I mean, it looks so far like a good idea, just I have no fucking idea. So, and I think that it was more of a teaser than it was anything about, you know, there wasn't any real information. So with that in mind, you have some bigger news that I think that we ought to go into, because we're not going to see anything on Destiny for a while.
Well, I've got a number of game.
Well yeah, it's all tied to the same thing. It's all about PS4.
I'll build up to the PS4 with this, because I'll just go into some of the stuff. Now,
some of the stuff you're just showing me look like that. Mm-hmm. There's a benchmark software thing that you can get right now.
Yeah, there's a number of them. Yeah,
they kind of look like what that was for. Was that Unreal 4?
Yeah, this one. Right. Well, this is Unreal Engine 4 right here, playing on PlayStation. Of course, you know, this is their non-HD. So imagine it in HD, and it's actually kind of impressive. So yeah. Seeing that,
all those particles.
Seeing a fault line run through all these different types of environments.
Like, now we got ice, now we got fire.
Atronox coming out and doing battle. Looks pretty good. He looked kind of creepy right there. He's just, yeah. Anyways, more to the point with this one. This is something they announced for the PlayStation 4 is sculpting. They're trying to bring the PlayStation Move back into existence and
trying to validate what we can do with it.
Making it relative. But they have this new program where you can basically sculpt and create things with it, and I'll show you this so you can see how he's doing it. He's creating with the Move, and it's three-dimensional sculptures. It's like all clay. Yeah.
How many penises can be made with this?
Mm-hmm. So it's like you just keep sculpting and adding, changing, so you start making one thing, you move to another. You got this weird, you know, of course that guy's probably a very well-trained graphic artist for, you know, three-dimensional programmer. So, but, yeah. He's also probably the guys that developed the damn software for it, so knows how to use it very well. But, yeah, it's really impressive looking, the shadowing on it and all that's very realistic looking.
That can be done with anything, right?
I know, it can be for a console.
Right, I mean, I know. I mean, the graphics are there, but the...
Yeah.
It's impressive what they can do with that, but I mean, that just...
Well, this kind of, for me, this kind of...
It's more of a demonstration of technology than it is something that, hey, I've got that new sculpting program.
Hold on, no, just wait. There's more. So, we can move beyond that and jump into actual environments. Where you're creating entire landscapes, towns, all kinds of shit. So it goes beyond
Isn't it like a level builder?
Basically, yeah. But you're actually creating the houses, the objects, how they look, all that stuff. I mean, look at this crap. This is impressive for what you can do.
I wonder how many weeks that took.
Now, this was... This next piece was all made... all in one take. No stopping. They just kept going. Made this entire thing. Inside of the sculpting program. Of course, it has music to it, but you can't hear that. But yeah, right here. Created these things. You can make them move. So it's actually 3D animation with the...
Hey, it's fucking Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, it kind of does look like Norman Reedus. Anyways. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You can create these things. You can sculpt them. You can make them move around. You can do all kinds of crap. You can control them, which is very impressive. So, I mean, it's
pretty awesome. I know they want to... push the dildos really hard. But.
Yeah, I know they do. But it's still cool what they've accomplished to be able to, on a console with that, you can do that and have that type of freedom to fuck around.
I like how people are looking outside the box to do stuff, but the end result is,
yeah.
As many of these cool things people show,
yeah.
A lot of times I like to just sit back and play a game.
Yeah.
In general, you know?
That
like,
one.
That motion control stuff for anything at any time yet. And the 2 or 3 years that it's been out has caught my interest.
That one, though, in my opinion, I'm just saying it's one of those nights I'm going to sit back and I don't want to watch TV. I don't really want to play a game. I just want to fuck around. How many times have you gone in to just fuck around with a level editor just for fun?
It's been a while.
Yeah, but how many times have you?
Back when I was really into Left 4 Dead, I did it for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of, you're just going and fucking around and having your go at it. And people who don't design video games or design graphics for a living, it's something where they can go and kind of have fun, see what it's like, kind of create something new and maybe spark an interest, which is awesome because it's mainly, in my mind, a doorway to spark an interest, which is kind of cool. Now, I think it should come pre-built into the PlayStation 4. Should be a program you have to go out and buy. So, let's go ahead and move forward. Killzone Shadowfall was announced for PlayStation 4. Now, this...
It's been a long time since I even liked a Killzone
game. Yeah, same here. I liked the first one. I couldn't get into a lot of the others. But this one, graphically, I mean, it's...
Well, I've never argued with the graphics of Killzone. They've always been top-notch for the time they were being developed for.
Yeah, but we're talking about for PlayStation 4 here. This looks really...
This looks like something that wouldn't run on my PC.
Yeah, this looks really good. I am impressed by this giant city with floating things in the sky. And is this... I don't know if this is all in-game or if this is rendered. No, okay, it looks like this is actual in-game graphics. Pretty cool. Boom. Explosion. That's a pretty good explosion.
That's a really good-looking explosion.
Yeah.
Like, next-gen consoles looking like this...
Yeah, here's the actual... This looks good. See all the fires. The fires don't look too dimensional. They look like fucking animated GIFs. They actually look good. The shadowing on... Yeah, you see the light just tipping off the... Gingerly tipping off the gun. Aww.
And you guys can find a lot of this stuff online. The Killzone video we're watching right now is a PS4...
Yeah, reveal.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Now, some of the games that they did mention that are going to be coming out, they're going to have a game called Knack. They're going to have that Killzone, Shadowfall, Drive Club, Infamous, Second Son, and Deep Down. The main highlights, of course, is going to be stuff like Diablo 3, The Witness, Final Fantasy has a brand new game coming out. Watch Dogs is going to be... Now, there's... everybody was like, well, that was going to be on this generation. What they're going to do is they're actually going to put Watchdog out on PlayStation 4 first, and then it'll trickle down to this current generation.
I think that sparks an interesting discussion, and part of that is that this year I don't see being really huge on games, and it almost feels like publisher suicide to put out something really big on a console when in just 12 months we're going to be having new consoles coming out.
Yeah.
Like anything that's really big in a multiplayer or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of viability in 2 years, you know?
Yeah. For me, it's...
Because, I mean, a lot of the hardcore gamers,
mm-hmm.
people that are buying this for more than their kids, like people our age that game, are, you know, we have the finances to go out.
Yeah, we're lifers.
So. Right, and it's when technology like this comes out, it'll be people like me and you that go out and pick up a new console. I mean, if I have to save up a little bit of cash, maybe I will, and I'll just set something aside.
Yeah.
So that when this stuff comes out, I can just pick it up and do it, you know, but...
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Wii U. I mean, granted, the Wii U's getting a really slow launch right now, but Wii U's really going to have to pick it up if that's what the PS4 looks like.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Wii U is basically just high-definition Wii. And granted, they could come out with some really cool games on the Wii U, but, like, again, it seems like timing on the Wii or on Nintendo couldn't have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have released the Wii U 2 years ago, that'd have been a good market, or if they released, I don't know, maybe an updated graphics card from where it's at right now. Or maybe they'll do what they did with the N64 and add the expansion port.
Yeah.
And do something like that, or make better use of RAM or something. I don't know what they're going to do.
That's a PS4 render right there for an old man face.
Yeah, I saw some stuff about the old man stuff earlier today at work.
It looks impressive. I mean, so was that Viking video they had quite some time ago. I remember the Viking that was mo-capped, and that was live mo-cap. But anyways, let me jump back in here really quick. So let's go ahead and just move into the PlayStation 4. Now, saving this because here's all these games that are coming out. They're going to look pretty awesome, but you know what? We still don't know what the fucking thing's going to look like. Because the big...
I know you're hung up on what it's going to look like. I honestly don't care.
Well, no, my question is, why didn't they show it? Not so much, I don't care what it looks like. I'm just asking, why don't they know yet? It's coming out in November. So why don't they know?
They're going to reveal that at E3.
Huh? Maybe, but...
They want to see what Microsoft's box looks like.
They're throwing a huge announcement going, we're going to reveal some shit. It's a controller. Yeah, but they're not going to show you what the thing looks like. So it makes you wonder, have they really narrowed it down? It's basically the PlayStation 4, when you look at all the specs, it is a PC. It really is a PC wrapped in a box. The main specs we have here is a single chip custom processor. It's going to be an 8-core. All right. Let me take a look here. AMD Next Generation Radeon based graphics engine is going to have 8 gigs GDDR 5 memory. Hard disk built in, of course, it's going to have a Blu-ray disc, optical drive, of course. It's going to be using USB 3.0 technology. It's going to have Ethernet and Bluetooth and all that. HDMI, analog AV out, and digital output, which is optical. But...
Well, the thing I'm more impressed by is GPU is at 1.84 teraflops.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're going to use AMD, and AMD, generally speaking, has always been...
pretty good.
Well,
so that's all I use is AMD stuff. So.
Well, they're also, characteristically, them versus NVIDIA when it's come to stuff, or have always been, or not them versus NVIDIA, them versus Intel.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
They've always been a little bit cheaper on their products.
Yeah.
Just interesting because the new Xbox was also going to be using an AMD chipset, or an Intel chipset. So this ought to be kind of interesting, like AMD versus Intel again, even in consoles.
Yeah, there's some more highlights if we actually load up the PDF from Sony. Which basically goes into their second screen they're going to be using, which is using the PlayStation Vita. You're going to be able to basically, if you're playing a game at home, you'll be able to do what they've always talked about, which is take it on the go with your PlayStation Vita. You'll be able to access your console using a cloud and play whatever you're playing, is what they're talking about doing with it. Let's see. Yeah, it's talking about being able to seamlessly pull PlayStation 4 titles from the living room's TV and play them on the PS Vita, which is basically then trying to find an excuse for people to buy Vitas since the sales haven't been that great.
They're also talking about using smartphones and tablets.
Smartphones, and that's still kind of up there. They don't know if that's actually going to be there or not. Immediate gameplay, which is actually kind of cool. It's a suspend mode, so when you're playing your game console, if you need to walk away, you can hit suspend and it locks the entire system.
It's
right
something
where it
that's
is.
Been around for a real long time, so like for people to play ROMs and you had a save state, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, and it's basically you hit the button, everything will shut down and save right where it is, so when you come back and you just hit the button, but it doesn't probably... it basically goes into hibernation rather than just turning your TV off and leaving the console on. It just stays where it is. Let's see. Gaming in the cloud, of course. Blah, blah, blah. Got incorporated cloud technology. So they're going to be using...
Well, they've been doing that for a while now.
I know, they're just saying for the place that they're going to stay with it. Let's take a look at it. That's pretty much most of what this one goes into. A lot of social networking.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I saw in some of the stuff was being able to post a lot of stuff to
social media, and social media has gotten a lot bigger, so I mean, it could be one of those things like screenshots posted to your Twitter or to your Facebook or whatever. Or,
well, they're doing more than that. They're actually making it to where when you're playing a game, people can actually watch you play, comment on what you're doing, react to what you're doing, and also jump in the game from that
side. Kind of like what OnLive was doing.
Yeah, they can hit join and boom. And they're just watching a little screen. And you, if you have your PlayStation iCam hooked up with your headset on, you can talk to them. And if they want to jump in your game, they can hit join and jump right into your game and help you out. And that's cool, but at the same time, sometimes I would feel horrible if somebody had to watch me play Dark Souls for like 67 hours of getting my ass kicked and commenting. And I'm just like, you're not helping. You're not helping. Go away. You know, and that, I'm sure there's probably a privacy
mode. I wonder what that's going to be at Twitch.
I'm sure there's a privacy mode where you can just turn it off where people can't do that, which I hope to God there is. But you can connect your Facebook to your account with Sony Entertainment Network account. Usually able to deepen their connection through co-play or cross-game chat. So chat's going to finally be a feature they're bringing in, obviously. The new controller they show, it has a headset plug-in.
So kind of like an Xbox controller.
Yeah. Who did that? Xbox did that, yeah.
I wonder if they're going to make the big thing I've always had was with Sony versus Xbox when it comes to online gaming has been just the party system, and Xbox has always been so good.
Yeah, they're also going to have the built-in features where you can actually take video from games. I don't think that's going to be dependent on games. It's any game you're playing. So how Bungie has their little, you know, make a video from the last match, you're going to be able to do that with games on the PlayStation 4, just built in with the software. You can record a video of what you're playing and then automatically share it onto your PlayStation profile, which then connects to your Facebook, Twitter, whatever. So it'll post on those, which is kind of cool. I do like that. I don't know if you'll be able to edit the videos like you can with a Bungie one, because that's a really extensive video editor.
Well, think about it. One of the things that I'm thinking about when it comes to that is, like, for people like us, mm-hmm. at some point we're going to be doing more video stuff, and we're going to have problems with HDCP like we have in the past with PS4 or PS3, and I mean that really just amounts to just plugging it into a converter and then converting it over to component or something, which is bullshit. But you know, it would be nice to see that if I could still do that, or if I could upload it somewhere else and then edit it back down, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Being able to edit is one of my favorite things on the Bungie Video Maker, because with Halo you can jump around. If you die, you don't have to just stare at your screen. You can just move the camera, so it's not actually you watching from the third person point of view, the dead view. You can actually switch to the first person point of view, your body, whenever you're dead. Or you can even do a quick edit where it's you die, but then you can switch to the person who shot you and just be like, yeah, there you go, which is fun. Or you can sneak up to do an assassination and then show it from their point of view of being killed, which is great. It's a good way to just own the shit out of people. But yeah, that's a cool thing. Another thing is the PS4 will stream PS1, 2, and 3 games. They're going to expand that library as time goes on. And ultimately what they're hoping to do is be able to take it to where older games for PlayStation 1 or maybe even 2 can actually be streamed to your mobile devices, like your iPad or your Windows 8 tablet or whatever.
I wonder if there's going to be a fee for that, or if I'm going to have to rebuy games.
I have no idea. But that's basically, Gaikai Cloud technology for the streaming feature, and eventually they're looking into putting older PlayStation games on any device via streaming, which will be pretty badass. They'll pull up Final Fantasy, 8 on, whatever. That'd be nice. Final Fantasy 7, Ghost in the Shell, stuff like that. It'd be nice. If those Ghost in the Shell probably never make it to their stream library, but still, good game. The controller itself, as we can see, is going to have that share button at the top, so you can just instantly click that. It looks like the regular PlayStation 4 controller with a little bit more rubberized grips on the analog here. We've got a touch screen that shows up now.
It's not a screen, it's just a touchpad.
Yeah, sorry, touchpad. And you just press power button, as always, it turns on. But yeah, either way, it's more functionality of what they put in there with the headsets, as well as a couple other things. So, it's not reinventing the wheel here, so... Yeah. And I can't seem to find anything about hard drive. They didn't really say. It just says it comes with a massive hard drive.
We'll find out more information about that later.
Yeah.
But I might actually be interested in the play or in Sony again after this, if this is really good.
Oh, I plan on picking one up. I loved the rumors of them having optical hard drives, you know, like, them doing optical hard drives with the whole, what was it, binary stamp imagery and all that, and I was like, that sounds really cool, and they didn't, so who cares. Either way, my thoughts on it is it's a cheaper way to buy a PC.
Yeah.
Yes, that's pretty much what it is. That seems to be the consensus. A lot of people saying, I've been using an ASIC CPU for years. This is basically the PC I built 3 years ago, blah, blah, blah. Which, yeah, but all on a console, so it's actually cheaper than having to build it. It really is. When you hook it up to your nice $600 TV, though, in the end, for the whole effect, you spend a lot more than your computer. But,
I hooked my computer up to TV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in the end, I mean, for the casual gamer, this is a hell of a system. Even if it was a casual gamer with a PC, this is overdicked for a casual gamer. So it's actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
So I'll give them that.
If they can pull off the technology and streamline it so that it works in the way that it looks, I think I'd be pretty impressed.
Well, you and I watched the Watch Dogs gameplay reveal that was on PlayStation 4.
That looked really good.
Amazing. And the gameplay, just on the fly hacking, they were like real open world gameplay, no missions, no nothing really. You create the missions as you go. You hone in on this chick.
Better than anything I'm playing right now.
Yeah, it's like you hone in on this chick, you listen to her phone call, you start following her, she runs into her ex-boyfriend or whatever, he pulls a gun on her, you decide to intervene, and it just kind of leads to this whole scenario of you chasing this dude down, attacking him, beating him up so the cops can get him, then you run off because the cops are after you, you jump onto a fucking L train. And
he stopped the train.
Yeah, like he made it electronically. Yeah, he pulled the emergency brake, jumped on, and just takes off. And you're like, wow, that's not even a mission. That's just something, and it's so well orchestrated. And when the cop car's coming up, and he raises the dead stops. Yeah, the dead stops, and the car just runs into it, and boom, just right up in the air. And
it's like, that wow. Car and the tire, and then
yeah, this is very. Very amazing, and like the distance, it was really awesome. The lighting effects were great, the textures were awesome, the decals on the walls were actually like legible, they didn't look pixelated as shit, they looked really good, and just a lot of immersion from what I could see. And if I'm gonna buy a PlayStation, that would be the game that I'm gonna buy it for. Even though it's coming out on Xbox 360, I would get it on PlayStation 4 just for that's an excuse. But either way, that's pretty much what I got on there. PlayStation 4.
We can talk a little bit more about it next week as we get more info.
If we get more
info. If we get more info.
Yes, if we get more. We'll have to... Whoa, that's a big fucking rabbit. Anyways. So, with that, we're going to go ahead and jump onto a break. Or unless you got some more news.
Yeah, I don't got anything more.
Okay. We're going to jump onto a break, and we will be right back.
And we're back. That was a pretty short break.
Yep.
When it's just me and you, we actually do our shorter breaks.
Yeah.
It's because me and you kind of know what we want to do next. So, I know we kind of shook the episode a little bit up. Or shook it up a little bit. Do want to do something a little bit different. Well, not a little bit different. Wanted to go into last week's question, which was what, Trent?
What movie or movie franchise, is there a new game or a game in general, what would you do with it, and what genre of game would it be? So we got the four best responses here out of all of our social stuff. I think Underworld could work next. Never mind. No, sorry. I think Underworld could work, but I don't think... I don't think it will ever be made into a game, and if it is, I don't think it will be well done. I would do it more like a modern Legacy of Kain and include playable storylines for both vampires and lycans.
Who was that?
That would be Mr. Brian Miller.
Hey,
let's
Brian.
See. Scotticus came in and said Babylon 5.
He does like his Babylon.
Yeah, he does. Space Combat Sim. Okay, I'm just going to throw this out there really quick. Why is it every time somebody wants to do a fucking Star Trek game, it's always a fucking simulator?
Well, Babylon 5 is not Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
I have a raging migraine and I'm fucking tired. By the way, my point still stands. Every time somebody wants to do a fucking Star Trek game, it's always a goddamn simulator.
Wasn't there a really bad simulator on Super Nintendo?
Sega. The next generation where you got beamed down on the away team and that was like the only fun part of it.
No, there was a Starship Space Sim that was on Super Nintendo. And then I had one on Game Boy when I was a kid too that was just a side scroller.
Yeah, I hate them. I hate them.
I played a lot of that. That game wasn't that good though.
Anyway, he said, done right, it could be like a Homeworld or Eve Online, except actually fun.
Ouch.
He then came back with, maybe just making one good Alien game, please. Of course, that would require Fox and Sega realizing they're neither smart nor creative, and would have to let a dev company do the job they set out to do, which I agree. I mean, Fox has been trying to beat this horse for the past 30-some-odd fucking years, and Sega just doesn't want to lose control. Which at the same time, Gearbox kind of took priority with Borderlands 2 and just outsourced Aliens, which I think they should have divided the office up and actually left. I mean, I would have waited for Borderlands to come out a little bit longer if it meant a good Aliens game. Anyways, Sophie Cockrell, our good friend Soapy Bubbles, she said, she's our baker from England. She says, a Hunger Games game. That's tricky. Anyway, would be so awesome, not based off the movie or book, but you play as a tribute and just have to survive. Find food and water, make weapons, and kill other tributes. It could be a large island like Far Cry, and you can spend your time exploring and collecting, or go to main missions where the main story will play out. Someone hire me so I can make it. And that's it. I like the idea of exploring and just, the island's so beautiful, and then you get killed out of nowhere. Now make it about a 9-player game online multiplayer, PvP.
I guess it'd be a big PvP mess. I don't know if I think Holly would probably disagree, but I don't see the Hunger Games being made a game.
I can see. Well, you gotta think of it this way: Hunger Games is basically deathmatch. That's all it is from any game, deathmatch, where there's only one fucking winner. Of course, in a Hunger Games version, you don't respawn, but you know. So, and who knows, they're probably working on a Hunger Games game with the success of the series being turned into movies. So, those are our four best ones we got.
Did we get any emails?
Yes, we did, actually. Let me take a look here. We got one from Mr. Ian, and I like the subject of this one, and I like what he did. He said, to the Nasty One, the Trench Show, and the Holly Badger, he almost got it right this time. He left Holly on there. Yeah, so I had a rage moment in Left 4 Dead 2 over the weekend where a player on my team in the safe room decided to open fire on the entire party and thus ruining the game. That's happened quite a bit. At that point, raging, I decided to follow this person through the internet, and whatever Left 4 Dead 2 game he joined, I targeted him. By either taking him out as the infected or shooting him as a survivor. This ended with said player sending me an angry and extremely high-pitched voice message. So be that as it may, here's my question. 1, should there be a way to block people who play this way in Left 4 Dead for, say, a 24-hour time period or something like that? We'll answer that one first. No.
But there's a way to block people on Xbox Live.
There's a way to avoid. Not really block. It's more avoid if... And Ian knows that. You can just avoid people, and they're less likely to find you and jump into your games, or at least be on the same team as you. The downside with that is if you're partying with a group, then, but no, there should not be a way to block people for 24 hours, because here's the issue with that, Ian. How can you tell if the person who's lodging the complaint is lying their ass off, or actually legitimately grieving over something that somebody did? So... It's really hard to do. I mean, you've seen my feedback I'm actually a pretty decent, like, nice player, but people get pissed off because they lose all the time, or they just get mad, and so they go like, well, he trash talks, he cheats, he's an abusive player. I never even talked to him. I heard your little ghost fart over there. That was pretty awesome. It's like,
yeah.
No, I mean, I heard it on the headphones, so everybody else heard it. Anyways, what do you think about this 24-hour block?
I think it should be more than 24 hours to just completely avoid them altogether.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with it. You can already avoid players. There's no reason not to.
Yeah. But if you had a 24-hour block, it could be abused quite a bit.
Well, you already abused the rating system on rate of player.
Yeah.
I don't see any problem with it. I mean, you're going to get the good and the bad.
Yeah, and the way I see it is if you actually have a 24-hour block on blocking somebody out of their Xbox, that's what he's more talking about. They cannot play Left 4 Dead for 24 hours.
So, now, that I don't agree with.
I think
it should be... There's no way that we could ever matchmake again.
Yeah,
that would be fine with me.
But that's what I'm talking about. I think that's what he's actually talking about, is actually blocking somebody from playing Left 4 Dead 2 as a punishment. You can get somebody's account suspended. You can get somebody's account terminated. But they have to have enough bad reviews coming their way, basically, that they're cheating, they're modifying, they're doing something. And people will just do that because the person's a better player.
Right.
They'll go off and get pissed off. Well, they must be cheating that they beat me. You know what? Fucking put your ego in check. If I get my ass handed to me in Halo or Left 4 Dead, I'm usually not the first one to yell cheater unless I actually see them boo me from 175 feet away across a fucking playground. Then I'm like, okay, fuck that. So, let's see here. Or I see a hunter change direction in midair. That's a different story. Here's the second question. Have you ever wanted to pull a Jay and Silent Bob and go to people's houses who were talking shit about you on the internet and kick their ass? Now, he says just the internet. He didn't say anything about games. And not only have I wanted to, I have! So, yeah. Yeah. Not going to go into that. But anyway. Yeah.
So if I ever had somebody trash talk me online and just felt like going over and beating their ass... Sure.
Yeah, I think it's human, you know, to get mad when somebody.
I keep myself in check unless it's in a mosh pit.
Well, you just headbutt people in mosh pits, so, which is true. He does headbutt people in mosh if they're being
annoyed. A dick.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's natural to want to smack the heathens in the mouth, I'd say. And sometimes, you know, it's like, for the most part, I keep that nice, level headed. Ah, fuck them. Who cares? Sometimes, very rarely, I get to that point, and it depends on the level that they take this. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to react. I'm just going to go along my own business. But, and this is years of growing up, you know, finally speaking, but if somebody takes it to a level that's a little bit more personal than just fucking internet, where they start, like, that one douchebag, you start, like, messaging all my, like, every girl on my fucking friends list trying to get down their fucking pants. He was like chicken hogging my fucking friends list, and I was just like, holy shit, you know, because he was trying to bang my ex-girlfriend, but she didn't know he was married, and she asked me, hey, do you know anything about this one guy? And I was like, oh yeah, he's married. And then he got mad at me for some reason. But anyways, that guy I wanted to beat the fuck out of. So yeah,
did he have any other questions aside from that?
That's all I had.
That's a good email.
Yeah, that's a good email. Got us talking. So let's say, have you ever beaten somebody up that was talking shit about you on the internet? Have you ever gone to their house or the place that you knew that they were and just fucked them up? Or in turn got your ass kicked? I like that question. Because it's funny.
I have never done that.
Mm.
So I'm not going to be able to relate to this question.
I have. And you know the person I did it to.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that guy. The guy
threw
across the living room into a fireplace and then dragged his ass outside. That's what you get for fucking behind your girlfriend's back. Anyways, so that's mine. What's yours? Who did you beat the fuck out of? What were the circumstances? And did you win? You can lie.
I don't know how many answers we're going to get, but...
You can lie. You can say you didn't win, but, you know... You can say you totally won when you didn't. Or call it a draw. It was a draw. It was a gentleman's agreement. That's what I call it when you get your ass kicked. It's like, it was a gentleman's agreement. We both walked away.
Disagreement.
Yeah, no. we agreed to walk away. Of course, he was the one walking, and I was on the ground. But either way, we agreed. It was done. Anyways, so that's our question.
Don't forget about Gauntlet.
Yeah. What is our Gauntlet title this week?
ODST.
Yeah.
Doing that this Saturday.
Some Halo ODST this Saturday at 10 p.m. on the 23rd.
So that'll be me and Trent. You can find our gamer tags on the website.
Might be Holly. We don't know. She's
we'll
had a bad month.
Yeah, she's... Well, I don't want to release anything personal.
I wanted to send her a message saying you're safe with me, but without the R. Yeah, just like you're safe with me. I thought that'd be funny. Anyway, nobody knows what we're talking about. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on here to. Do you have upcoming game releases?
Yeah, I'm looking at upcoming games right now.
I thought you pulled that up. Yeah, I was pretty sure.
So really. Yeah, there's just not a lot coming out this next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. So I'm going to find something to play so I can talk about something next week. I will say that the week following next week, though, is a lot more interesting because Tomb Raider comes out.
March is going to be fun.
March is going to run me broke.
Yeah.
And next month is going to be a lot more interesting. So next month, March 5th, we've got Tomb Raider on PS3, Xbox 360, PC, and Mac. Coming along a little bit longer after that, the following week, we have Sniper Ghost Warrior 2. I'm not getting God of War Ascension. That is coming out, which could be cool. And StarCraft 2 Heart of the Swarm also looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. The following week after that, we have Gears of War Judgment and Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, which is basically Monster Hunter Tri.
Oh my god!
I'm a pretty big Monster Hunter fan.
Yeah.
It's one of the few games that I still play on my PSP.
Blather and blathers, guys.
At one point, I had a Monster Hunter t-shirt, and I still have a keychain that I still... Or I have a lanyard that I still have, that I still use. But there is a new Monster Hunter game coming out on other systems, I think, here later this year. That same week, we also have Walking Dead Survival Instinct, which doesn't look that good. I don't know. Maybe I'll try to rent
it. Which one was it, did you say?
Walking Dead Survival Instinct.
That's
Daryl
the,
and Merle.
Yeah, the Dixon brothers. I'm actually... have they started showing gameplay for it?
It looks
they
pretty
did?
Bad.
Okay. Because I haven't checked out the gameplay yet.
It looks like first generation Xbox.
I like the idea of having a prequel game that basically shows the Dixon brothers leading up to when they met up with the camp, because there's a backstory that was never revealed in that, and why they were in the camp, and... How far they'll take it, I don't know, but the idea sounds fun. Very survivalistic.
The idea looks good, but
yeah.
The execution so far looks like utter shit. So,
yeah. But at the same
time, I'll try
time,
to dig up more information.
Is that going to be on PC?
No, it's just console only.
Yeah, that sucks.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. PC, yeah.
Okay, well then,
but a full $60.
Modders.
Yeah, but if it's a bad game, again, you don't want to get the whole Aliens experience.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Sorry. Sorry, hot tattoo chicks and panties are popping up on my fucking YouTube feed.
So anyways, I know our show is short this week. There wasn't a lot to go over. Hopefully next week we'll have a little bit more. We'll be looking at a lot of news and stuff like that. And appreciate our listeners. Of course, review us at iTunes.com. Search Tiltcast. Find us on Stitcher, Tiltcast. Also our website, Tiltcast.com. Facebook.com/Tiltcast. And of course, twitter.com/tiltcast.
Yep.
And our email at teabag@tiltcast.com. So, with that, we will see you next week. And again, thanks for listening.
See you guys.